Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello, dear listener, and welcome back to Owning It, the Anxiety Podcast with me, Caroline Foran. Now, today I'm just by myself again for another short episode. I think I'm getting a very good response for these mini ones because you can just dip into them when you feel the need, when you need a little pick-me-up. So in between the guest chats, which I have, which I love doing, I will have a few more of these kind of episodes. So I'm joined here by Bear. He's my guest today, I suppose. Hopefully he won't be making too much noise. And I want to talk to you about one of the best tools for helping your anxiety. And it's one that, to be honest, for so long I would have just rolled my eyes at, thinking it sounded stupid or just a bit hippy-dippy or whatever. But now, after resisting it for a long time and then giving it a try, I've come to believe it is not only helpful, but actually maybe even essential. And the thing that I'm talking about is self-compassion. So if you struggle with anxiety, I think it's fair to say you tend to be your own worst critic, and I am so incredibly hard on myself. And even though I will be kind and considerate and gentle with any of my friends who feel anxious for whatever reason, whenever I feel it, I just go straight on the attack. I blame myself, I self-monitor myself like a mean teacher waiting for a student to fuck up. And you know those people who you think, I just cannot do anything right in their eyes, it'll never be enough, it'll never be pleasing. Well, I can kind of think I'm that person to myself when I'm in an anxious phase, and maybe you feel the same. And I think, oh, Caroline, like, you idiot, you should be able to outsmart this. Why is this happening to you? I speak to myself from a place of just complete and utter frustration and even disdain. And if I was to talk to a friend like that, I know I wouldn't have very many friends left. So there are lots of definitions of self-compassion floating around, but I guess for me, it's about being as kind to yourself as you would be to someone else. And again, that might sound super simple and maybe a little bit silly and like, you know, okay, if all it took was for me to be nice to myself, I wouldn't still be feeling bad. It's like when people tell you just to breathe. But when I dug a little bit deeper and I learned how self-compassion affects the body on a biological level, everything kind of started to make sense to me. So whether we're talking about sleep or exercise or deep breathing or self-compassion as we are in this episode, I'm really only interested or excited about something as a potential tool when there's some really specific science to back it up. And with self-compassion, there absolutely is, which is amazing. So I'm wondering if you've heard of a woman called Dr. Kristen Neff. I only very recently, to my shame, discovered her, and she is like the queen of self-compassion. She's kind of like Brené Brown, type of person, in that her whole life is based on, her whole work life is based around research on human behavior and why we are the way we are, why we feel the way we feel. And her particular focus has been self-compassion, where Brené Brown's has been vulnerability and shame. I came across her TEDx talk. It's amazing. And I actually can't believe I hadn't come across it before, because had someone sent me that video back in 2014, I don't even know when it came out, but it would have been just so unbelievably helpful. And I was like, okay, here's very clearly a very smart woman. And if she thinks self-compassion is worth implementing, worth having in your life, I'm sure she will make a convincing argument for it. So she talks about self-compassion versus self-criticism and how both of those things affect the body in different ways. Say, for example, you start to feel anxious for whatever reason, and maybe it's a combination of vulnerability factors, which we've talked about before. So you could be feeling under the weather, you could have your period if you're a woman, you could be having a hard time with a family member. Any number of reasons can come together and make you feel anxious. And if you're anything like me, you enter straight away into self-critical mode. And as far as your biology is concerned, and the very careful balance of hormones inside you, which as anxious people, it is our main priority to keep balanced, you then see the anxiety you feel as a threat. And it definitely feels very threatening to you. Even if it's not something tangible, like, you know, you're threatened by an upcoming event, you're threatened by the anxiety itself. And so you launch an attack on yourself merely with how you think and how you speak to yourself. You tense up as if you're preparing to fight, and you produce cortisol, which, you know, is the slower releasing stress hormone, which just feels all kinds of nasty. And when you're anxious to begin with, you already have plenty of cortisol in your system. You do not need any more. So this is kind of why I get stuck in little cycles of self-perpetuating anxiety. It becomes like a chicken and egg situation. I feel anxious for whatever reason. Maybe I identify that reason, which is obviously a huge part of the puzzle. And then where self-compassion would come in really handy, I instead go down the self-monitoring, very self-critical route. And I say to myself, oh, for fuck's sake, like, can you just feel better? And over time, where the anxiety might have already begun to calm down, I've triggered my amygdala, which is the sort of fear, worry center of our brain. I've triggered it to fire off more warning signals. And that, as you can imagine, serves only to just perpetuate that anxiety cycle. So what started about anxiety as something else is now anxiety about anxiety, because I'm fueling it with that self-criticalness. Criticalness? Self-criticism. Self-compassion has an entirely different effect on our body, and I suppose it's like a softer version of my whole message of owning it. So if you think of a scared kid for a minute, I guess it helps for me to imagine the body's fear response as it often acts like a very scared child who just needs a little bit of reassurance. Now, if you scold that child and you berate it for being scared and you give out to it, you're not exactly going to make it feel very much better or safe or secure. But if you soothe and comfort that child and you make it feel safe, even if its worries seem silly or stupid to you as an adult, you know, if a kid is scared of a potential monster under the bed, you think, okay, well, that's not realistic, but it's valid and real to a kid. If you then comfort that kid and make it feel safe, you will have a profoundly different effect on the kid. And the same, I believe, happens for yourself. So Kristen Neff talks a lot about the various research that shows that when we choose self-compassion as a route, we change how our body feels at a biological level too. So instead of the cortisol and stress sirens that come with being self-critical, with self-compassion, we create feelings of calmness, safety, comfort, security. And when we do that, our bodies naturally release oxytocin and opiates, which are some of, obviously, the lovelier feel-good hormones, which are very soothing for anxiety.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Wow!
Nice!
Yeah!
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact? You can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
So for me, this was kind of mind-blowing. When I had my very bad wave of anxiety the week before last, I was just so disappointed that I was feeling it again. And I know I talked about it on the podcast before the last one, where I feel that I should be okay because here I am writing books about how to manage anxiety and here I am creating podcasts about it. And then I turn around and say, oh shit, I'm actually feeling it. And I start to think, oh my God, Caroline, are you like a fraud? Can you even be putting this content out there? And obviously I know in my rational head that that's not the case. But when I was feeling that way, I checked in with myself every few minutes without fail. And when I noticed that I felt anxious, I would be like, oh, for fuck's sake. And now you know that that would have just kept me stuck in that phase of anxiety because of the cortisol being produced. But when I sat down and really thought about it, knowing the impact of this on my hormones, and I switched my self-talk to become a lot kinder, softer, and more gentle towards myself, honestly, so much of the anxiety evaporated over the course of maybe 2 days and helped me to stop resisting it and to own it. And we know that when we really accept and embrace the way we're feeling, we're already on the road to feeling much better. So how do we become a little bit more self-compassionate in our day-to-day lives? If you watch the TED Talk with Kristen Neff, she will explain three different components of self-compassion. And I want to go through them here on this episode, but specifically in relation to anxiety. So the first is self-kindness versus self-judgment. So for example, asking yourself, what can I do to help these feelings of anxiety, or how can I help? You ask these questions to yourself in the same way you would ask a friend, rather than saying, oh my God, I can't believe you're feeling this. You need to not feel this way and you need to feel better right now. This part is about accepting the fact that you are where you are right now, which helps give you a greater sense of emotional equanimity, which helps obviously to reduce the anxiety. The second is common humanity versus isolation. And this is just absolutely huge for anxiety. So we always think when we're feeling anxious that we are the only ones feeling the way that we're feeling. And I know for myself, literally for years, I thought, I just can't tell anyone about this because they will look at me like I have two heads. Nobody else has ever felt this way. And I think this feeling for most people seems to go hand in hand with anxiety. But I can absolutely tell you that this is very, very wrong. And I can say that with certainty because of the volume of messages I get on a weekly basis from people telling me their anxiety stories. It still just completely amazes me how many people are actually struggling with anxiety and such similar anxiety to what I went through. And so much of that suffering comes from thinking that we're on our own in it, and the truth is we're just not. So had I had a little bit more self-compassion to say back when it first really knocked me down that, you know, lots of people struggle with anxiety but you're just not hearing about it, I would have felt less alone, less crazy, and a little bit better. The thing is, we all go through hard times, and though not everyone experiences anxiety as frequently as we do, there is an overwhelming amount of people who do. So this element of self-compassion asks you to recognize that you're not alone in your struggle, and also to accept that these struggles are very much part of what it means to be human, and that we are all in this together. The third element is mindfulness versus self-monitoring, which I seem to be very good at, the self-monitoring part. And I can also say from experience that the self-monitoring tendency does nothing but exacerbate anxiety. So mindfulness with anxiety is about observing your thoughts and your feelings without judging them. And I know that, look, that is so much easier said than done, but I find it helps to say, okay, this is how you're feeling right now, and that is okay. And just saying these words to yourself will start to have a positive impact on how you're feeling. Instead of checking in with myself every few minutes wanting to see if it has gone, which again only made it worse, I told myself, okay, you're in an anxious phase right now, you're not feeling very good, but it will pass and you are fine. Eventually, I stopped panicking every time I checked in and noticed that I was anxious. By choosing to soothe myself rather than to judge myself, and by not trying to suppress the feelings, I stopped thoughts going off in my head like little anxiety bombs. And that's kind of the best way I can describe it, is where if I'm in an anxious phase and a thought comes into my head such as, oh my God, what if I always feel this way? It's like a little nuclear bomb has just gone off and spread throughout my body, filling me with fear and feelings of anxiety. Often, once we've identified anxiety or where it's coming from, we expect that's kind of the job done. The anxiety should be gone. But in my experience, when we enter into a phase of anxiety, which involves, you know, excess stress hormones in our bodies, it really does take a while for you to come back to hormonal and emotional equilibrium. So yes, you may understand it, you may get it, you may know where it's coming from, you may have identified it and had a conversation with someone, but you have to give yourself all the time you need to come back to center. You can't rush it. Diana Ross said you can't hurry love. I'm saying you can't hurry anxiety. I promise you, you will come back to center. So you'd have to just trust that that will happen, and it's a process. So if you're looking for a self-compassion exercise or to check in on where you stand with your own self-compassion, I know I had very little up to not very long ago, go to selfcompassion.org. So it's self-compassion.org. And that's Dr. Kristen Neff's website. And there's lots of exercises there, as well as a self-compassion test that you can do. And other than that, I find the best thing to do to bring more self-compassion into your life is to start writing down exactly what you would say to a friend who is feeling the way you're feeling, and then reread it as though it's to yourself. Instead of hating yourself for feeling anxiety again, say to yourself, I'm sorry that you're feeling this way. I know it's not nice. So what can I do to help? Then bring your anxiety along with you as you go through your day and think of it as that scared little child we talked of before who just needs a little bit of extra comforting and reassurance at the moment. Eventually, your amygdala will feel a lot more at ease and your feelings of anxiety will be lifted and you'll be left just feeling as yourself. Thank you so much for listening to this mini episode with me. I'll be back next week with a very special guest. And in the meantime, if you haven't already gotten my books, they are called Owning It and The Confidence Kit, but it's called Own It in the US if you're in America. And they're available online on Amazon and in most shops. So I'm currently writing my third book and finding that quite challenging. And I will tell you very much more about that soon. So enjoy, have a good week. And I hope that you are feeling good.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hi. This is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc. Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
The easiest way to access Owning It Real Time is to head to the link in the episode description or episode details, whatever you call them, show notes. You will find the link in there at the top. You can sign up right away for Owning It Real Time and access the full library of 10 situation-specific audio guides that will help you own your anxiety even more than you've ever done before.